So here we are, first Sunday of the year, and we're going to start with a really, really long series of readings. And I make no apology for that, because there is power in the Word of God, and it's actually a really healthy thing to read the Word of God. And as we read some of these passages, these prophetic passages, they're actually going to speak to us. And as we read them, they're going to become active in our lives. So as I read these passages, let them sort of roll over you. Maybe you want to start looking for some trends in them and figuring out what they've got in common. And I would suggest that when you get home in about 3 hours' time, you might want to read through this first reading again. See, I said that and Eleanor was leaving already. Isaiah 35. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will burst into blossom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. And they will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. That's the gym verse, by the way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then the eyes of the blind will open and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then will the lame leap like deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool and the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. And it will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go on it. No lion will be there. No ravenous beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there. And those the Lord has rescued will return. And they will enter Zion with singing, and everlasting joy will crown their heads. And gladness and joy will overtake them. And sorrow and sighing will flee away. Because my wife is currently reading Song of Solomon's and keeps blessing me with bits of poetry from there. See, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. That's not prophetic for our summer. Flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. Hosea 14. I will be like the dew to Israel, and he will blossom like the lily, like the cedar of Lebanon. He will send down his roots. His young shoots will grow. His splendor will be like an olive tree, his fragrance like the cedar of Lebanon. People will dwell again in his shade and will flourish like the grain and blossom like the vine, and Israel's fame will be like wine of Lebanon. Psalm 92. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like the cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. Isaiah 55, as the rain and the snow come from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so my word that comes out of my mouth will not return empty. It will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. And you will go out with joy. And you will be led forth with peace. and the mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and the trees of the field will clap their hands, and instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of the briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. In days to come, Jacob will take root, and Israel will bud and blossom and fill the world with fruit. Matthew 13. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. And though it is the smallest of all seeds, when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants, becoming a tree, so that birds will come and perch in its branches. It's tempting also to read Isaiah 60 and Isaiah 61 and John 15. But perhaps if there were another passage that I should have read, it would be Genesis 1:11, where God gives command to creation. And he says, let the land produce vegetation and seed-bearing plants and trees that bear fruit with seeds in them. It is worth remembering that while God is many things, the first thing we are told that God is a gardener. Me, not so much. These passages that I read, the song that we played for the announcements, are all about one thing: blossoming, coming into bloom, flowering, flourishing like the palm tree. They are together a beautiful vision. There are a whole series of trends in this passage, and I really do suggest that you read Isaiah 50:35 again, because I don't have time to go through all of those trends this morning, but they're really quite spectacular. This is a blooming out of desolation. This is not Isaiah saying that your garden will come into bloom. This is Isaiah saying that the desert will come to bloom. It will be the parched ground that brings forth these flowers. And even that verse in Genesis, when God speaks those words, he's speaking to a barren earth. There is nothing there. And he's commanding it to bring forth flowers and fruits and seeds. I'd also like to acknowledge that the historical grammatical method of interpreting scripture, anybody know what that means? Okay, so the first lecture I'm doing this year, probably sometime in March, we are going to do the historical grammatical method of interpreting scripture. Because when you read the Bible, you can't just make it up as you go along. There are rules. So we'll look at those rules. And the rules say that who this was originally written to is the controlling meaning. So whilst this is true for us, and whilst there are clearly gospel interpretations here too, it's true of Jesus, it's also true of those that it was first written for, which is Israel. The reason that I'm reading these passages is because I believe this is a word of God for us at the beginning of this year. I'm reading through the prophets at the moment, and the prophets like physical demonstrations of things. They're always giving a word, but they're always giving the word in a physical form. You might have noticed that I quite like doing the same. There is an altar at the back there with glowing coals on it. Please be careful, don't touch it, you might burn your hand. I like doing physical things. And 3 years ago, when we changed the front of church to how it is now, I came up with the next idea. And the next idea is going to come about over the next few weeks. And it will be a physical interpretation of this sermon. And I'm telling you now, because I know as a church, being observant is not one of our strengths. It is not our superpower. And it turns out that nobody noticed that at the back there, for the 4 weeks of Lent, there was a different, of Advent, there was a different word each week. And nobody noticed. I was officially heartbroken. So, it'll start over January, towards the end of January. Keep an eye out. Every week in church we have flowers. Aren't they beautiful? Prophetic flowers. Bursting into bloom. Your beauty will be like the lily. You will blossom like the olive tree, fragrance of the cedar of Lebanon, flourish like grain, blossom like the vine. The passage tells us that it's God's intention that our lives bloom. That our lives are to be something that is beautiful. That he planted us as plants, and our lives are to grow and become something beautiful, something fragrant, something attractive. That's who we are to be. That is God's desire for us. It is God who causes us to blossom. It is God who takes something that is plain and ordinary and makes it beautiful. Beauty for ashes, says Isaiah. Every kind of plant is different. And each plant has its own color, its own shape, its own fragrance. And in a church like this, we are very different from each other. And we will bloom in different ways. And even within our lives, the different areas of our lives are going to come into bloom in different ways. Our work life, our home life, our relationship with God, the way that we pray, the way that we witness, the way that we worship. All of these things bloom with different shaped flowers. Because God is a very creative artist, and he likes beauty. And when he made this world, he did not make this world with one type of flower. He made it with many, many, many types of flower. I trust that you know what it means for a flower to bloom. Right? You know what flowers look like, don't you? Right? You do know? Margaret knows. And you know, you start off with a little bud and a flower comes out of it, and we've got an amazing magnolia tree at home, and you can see the flowers coming, and then they're so beautiful and they last just a day and then they're gone. And after the flower comes the fruit with the seed in it, and we know what it means for a plant to be beautiful. And we know what it means to bloom. What does it mean for a human being to be beautiful and to bloom? What does it mean for a believer in Jesus to be beautiful and to bloom? Because your life is to be attractive. It's to be beautiful. That beauty is found in your lifestyle, in the way that you behave. Going back to a while, because I am officially old, it was very sad that Grant isn't here today, because when I read the passage about, you know, bearing fruit in old age, you know, I can only apply it to myself, because he's not here. So, it's okay, Carolyn's older than me. Lot older. Where was I? So my daughter used to like watching America's Next Top Model. Did you watch America's Next Top Model? Absolutely nobody. That's tragic. It's because I'm old. And, you know, there was a song at the time and an idea that was going around that was very popular. Everybody is beautiful. Each of us is beautiful in different ways, but everyone is beautiful. I watched that program and I decided there are some people that are just plain not beautiful. Because that program was full of ugliness. It was full of cattiness. It was full of selfishness. and people trying to destroy each other, and none of that is beautiful. I don't have to do all the work here. You know what it means for a person to be ugly, and you know what it means for a person to be beautiful, right? So if there is bitterness in your life, is that beautiful or ugly? See, you got it right. If there's a need to compete with everybody else, is that beautiful or is that ugly? If there's anger, if there's malice, if there's gossip, those things are not beautiful. Those things are ugly. That's not you coming into bloom. That's you doing something else. But when the peace of Christ is there, when there's joy, when there is generosity, when there is kindness, these are the things that make a person beautiful. And you get to blossom. And after the beauty of the flower comes the fruit. So this passage is talking about when our lives start to show who Jesus is. And the beauty of Christ comes to the fore, and the ugliness gets pushed into the background. Beauty is when you're doing what God called you to do. Each of us here has a calling. For some of us, it's leading worship. For some of us, it is leading youth group, because some poor person has to do that. You know, for some of us, we've all got different things that we do for God. We've got different callings. And when you do that calling, that becomes beautiful. So this set is coming down probably on Monday. When I put it up, Annalie helped me. And one of the things we had to do was hammer in a good number of nails. Hammering is a skill. Anybody good at hammering? There is a way that you address a nail. You hold the hammer at the end, because if you hold it up the top, you've got no strength and you've got no control. So you hold it at the back, and if you hit the nail and you hit it right, it will sing. It will vibrate. And the next time you hit it, because it's a little bit further into the wood, it will sing at a different pitch. So the nail sings a song as you hammer it into the wood. It is beautiful because the nail is doing what it's supposed to do, and the hammer is doing what it was made to do. And when we fulfill what God has for our lives, we blossom. We become beautiful. When we fight against it, when we try and be what we're not, when we try and do somebody else's calling, or when we just run away from the calling that God has for us, that's when ugliness comes into our lives. So we surrender, and we do what God calls us to do, and that brings forth beauty. Beauty is a blessing from God. Your life blooms because of God's blessing. And God's blessing is a gift. It is not something that you can earn. God is by nature a God of blessing. If you wanted, I could spend half an hour explaining that from Genesis. Okay, we'll move on. It's his fundamental nature to bless. It's a gift from God. And he desires to bless us. There are things you can do to put yourself in a position where God will bless you. There are things you can do to put yourself in a position where it's hard for God to bless you. And again, I don't need to do all the work here. You know what makes it easy. You know what makes it hard. So put yourself in a place where God can bless you so that your life can bloom. In Genesis, the definition of blessing is the power to succeed. And when the things that you do for God find their fullness, that's his blessing. So you start to bloom in your prayer life and in your service for him. blessing, blooming, is when all your hard work pays off. When all the work that you've done over the years and the sacrifices that you've made and the challenges that you've overcome in the end pay off. Like I said, I am old. Sad but true. I've served God all my life. Since I was young. I've had many times when what God wanted of me was not what I wanted. In fact, there are still times when what God wants of me is not what I want. And I've had to be obedient. And I've had to sacrifice. And I've had to work hard. And I've got to the age when I look back at those things and I see how all of those things that I could have described as grief and pain have turned into gold. And I found myself in the blessing of God. And, you know, Karen has been talking about this a lot recently, because she's older than me, so. It's a lot older than me. So it's 4 months, okay? 4 months. That's a long time. And if only we could explain to the younger people that it's worth it. That the sacrifices that you make for the Lord are worth it. That they actually pay off. That they actually bring blessing into your life. And you've got nothing to fear from them. So be faithful and be obedient. And work and sacrifice. Because God is nobody's debtor. And in the end, your life blooms. Blooming is seasonal. The reason I'm preaching this is because I really believe we're coming into one of those times. One of those times of blessing. One of those times where it comes together and beauty is found. And the things that we touch start to work out the way that they're supposed to. Life is seasonal. And the seasons follow each other, right? And particularly if you're a gardener or you are a farmer, you have to take those seasons seriously. So there is autumn, and there is winter, and there is spring, and there is winter again. At least that's the way it seems this year. And you do different things at different times. There's a time to plant and a time to harvest, right? There's a time when the farmer needs to plant cows. And then there's a time when the farmer needs to harvest cows. That's how it works, isn't it? What do I know? I'm a preacher. And the point is that when God is active in our lives, we have to work those seasons. If you've read the time poem from Ecclesiastes, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, a time for peace, a time to scatter stones, a time to gather stones. The point that Ecclesiastes is making is that God is in charge of the seasons. That God ordains what needs to happen. And if you're wise, you cooperate with what God is doing because he makes everything beautiful in its time. So you make sure that you're doing the right thing at the right time. Any gardener knows this. And there is blessing ahead of us. And there is fullness of joy ahead of us. And there is rest. And there is satisfaction. I'm not naive. I'm not going to tell you that you will have no challenges this year. I'm not going to tell you that you will have no griefs this year. I know that these things are part of all of our lives and part of every season in our lives. But the big picture is that God blesses the work of our hand. And that's what this year is going to be. It's God who makes you bloom. It's God who makes you blossom. He's the one that makes you grow, makes you fragrant, and makes you fruitful. It is God's season. 7. These had numbers, by the way. If you were taking notes, it's too late. This blessing, this blooming, is the result of the gospel working its way through our lives. I read the story of the mustard seed. Jesus tended to tell parables in pairs. And there's another parable that he tells that's very similar. He talks of leaven, and leaven being added to dough. And when the leaven is added to the dough, it works its way through the dough and causes it to rise and creates bread. I think there might be some cooking in there as well. I'm not quite sure. And that's the same for us. The gospel comes into our lives and ends up changing everything, changing us from the inside out, changing how we see things, changing what we want, changing who we are, and making us like Christ, making us blossom and bloom. That's the process that is working in our lives. And again, I don't have to do all the work. You know the things that will make that process work, and you know the things that will stand in the way of that process. But we're changing, and we've got to work with it and let God do something beautiful in your life. I want to remind you, Jesus told a parable of the sower. And in that sower, there were four different kinds of soil. And for a seed to grow, it needed to have good soil. And the point there is that good soil is a receptive heart, a heart that believes, a heart that listens, a heart that does. And that's necessary. But I want to remind you that in all of those passages that we read, the blossoming came out of desert. It didn't come out of good soil. It's not saying when everything is sorted out in your life, everything will go well. What it's saying is out of the difficulties and the aridness and the hardness of the ground and all of the different problems that you've got, your difficult wife, your difficult husband, your difficult boss, the griefs at your family, the problems with work and with health and all these different issues, and you think, well, I've got all these problems, how can I possibly bloom? It's the desert that blooms. It's not the garden that blooms. And that's a God thing. It's only God that can do that and can take something that's difficult and ugly and make it beautiful. And that is just such a joy from God. The last year that we lived in Israel was a standout year. In fact, when we were over there this last year, we went for a drive through the desert, and the tour guide mentioned this year. And we were kind of like, yeah, we were there. You know, he wasn't born at the time. It's just a little bit tragic. 1991. Every year you get rain in the desert. It's going to rain a couple of days in the desert. The rain, when it hits the ground, because the ground is hard, it doesn't penetrate. So it runs off. That's why you get flash floods in the desert. They've had a series of those this year. But this year, it snowed in the desert. It's a 1-in-100-year thing. And it snowed in the desert. And because the snow melts slowly, it seeps into the ground. And the desert blossomed like the rose. Places that people had only ever seen as arid and dry and just bare ground were suddenly an absolute mass of flowers. And people drove from all over the country to come and see the desert. And people came from all over the world to see the imagery that Isaiah has here, the what would have sparked his imagery of the arid desert blossoming like the rose. And that's what God is going to do in our lives. God is making you bloom, but you have to bloom. And this is true of 101 things in Scripture. It's one of those really, really difficult contradictions. It's God who does it, but we have to cooperate. We have to go with it rather than fighting it. And it's us and God in partnership, and we only get to bloom when that partnership is there. We're all different, and we'll all bloom in different ways. And that means we have to take this, take a word like this, take a promise like this, and combine it with faith. And look at our arid ground, and look at our desert. So actually, I believe God can do something beautiful here. I believe that he can actually make my life come to fruition. All the things that I've been working for. I believe that he can actually bring something beautiful out of my ugliness. I believe that he can bring something productive out of my barrenness. I believe. And we have to combine it with faith. We have to take what God's doing in our lives and express it, to let our light shine, to do faithfulness, to do obedience. And to quote Ecclesiastes again, two quotes from Ecclesiastes in one sermon. It's got to be a good sermon. It is now that God favors what you do. So have confidence. Try new things. Be expressive, expansive in your prayers. Be expansive in your thinking. Be expansive in your faith. Have a positive outlook, looking for what God is doing and partnering with it. As Isaiah says, rejoicing and shouts of joy, strengthening feeble hands and feeble knees, redoubling our efforts, looking for the opportunities that God puts into our lives. Some of those opportunities will be 30-second opportunities, and some of them will be things that you will do for the rest of your life. Expect them. Look for them. Do them. Blossom. Walk that way of holiness. This is a word for us as a church. It's also for us as individuals. When God speaks that promise into your life, combine it with faith. I believe. Say yes. Let your life blossom. I'm going to finish today. Sorry, I was expecting a cheer. Just want to read through that passage from Isaiah again. Then I want to pray it. And then we will go and we will do our New Year's thing and we will enjoy what's probably going to be the only sunny day we get this month. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, and the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. And they will see the glory of the Lord and the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear, for your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be open and the ears of the deaf unstopped, and they will leap like a deer, and the mute tongue will shout for joy, and water will gush in the wilderness and streams in the desert, and the burning sand will become a pool, and the thirsty ground bubbling springs, and in haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds will and papyrus will grow. Papyrus only grows in marsh. And a way of holiness will be there called the way of holiness. And it will be for those that walk in that way. And the unclean will not journey on it, and wicked fools will not go. go about on it. No lion will be there, nor ravenous beast. They will not be found, but only the redeemed will walk. And those whom the Lord has rescued will return and will enter Zion with singing. And everlasting joy will crown their heads, and gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Lord, as we read those words, may they come true in our lives. We pray, Lord, that you will bring beauty, and you will bring joy, and you will bring fragrance and productiveness out of our lives this year. That we as a church and we as individuals might blossom and bloom in what you've called us to do. And Lord, we might bring glory to you through the way that we live. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.